Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And the Chicago Flower and Garden Show will be happening. It's happening now through Valentine's
March 20th.
Day. Wait, I'm confused. Oh, it's not happening yet. It will be. Anyway, the president of the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, Tony Abruscato, is here. Tony, when is it?
It's March 20th through the 24th.
All right. I honestly am coming this year. We were just talking off the air. This is a place to go to find out everything you want to know about plants. We were talking about not just necessarily flowers, and we'll get to that for Valentine's Day, but you brought in a couple of beautiful plants. What are they?
So a philodendron, which is the moonlight philodendron. And so as for those online that can see it, is that the new leaves come out this brighter yellow color. And then the as they mature, they become that darker green. And they'll also have a little bit of a split to them. But again, with that broad leaf, they're there. And then the other is the medallion, Calathea, which is a bright leaf and bold colors. And so the brighter, the bigger the leaf at times, the more air that it's purifying.
Okay, that is what amazed me. They say that I only have silk plants in my house because I don't like to take care of them. Outside, Mother Nature helps with watering. But inside, if you have real plants, they really are kind of nature's air filter.
Well, you know, and much more than kind of, they really are. And so, and nothing, you know, nothing against the folks at Glade or Febreze or something like that, but it's chemicals and it's all those different things. But the house plants in there, they are purifying the air. And think about it too, in a small office space or office space in general, but if you have your own little office, putting some live plants in that office really clean the air. And one of the things you'll notice, I was joking with him last night, I was over at Sprout Home, looking at some plants, and you'll see the leaves all of a sudden they're really dusty and dirty.
Yeah,
because that it's all attracting to the leaf, and so that's why you wipe those with a sponge and keep those leaves clean. But that's where, you know, they're purifying that air, and those contaminants are coming through and connect. That's how I look at it. It's that they're connecting onto those leaves.
Go back to the philodendron for just a second. You talked about how as it gets older, the leaf color gets darker. Is that standard for plants and flowers, or is that just something that?
No, it happens to be the moonlight philodendron. You'll see sometimes when the flowers or the green plant is just opening up, it might be a little bit lighter than the mature color. But this one in particular comes out this really bright, almost, I'm a little colorblind.
It's like neon.
Green. I was going to say limey.
Yeah.
It comes out this little limey color, and then it darkens around. So as it continues to grow, you're having, you know, it kind of looks like the moonlight where shimmers out. And so you get that multicolor in it. And the nice thing about it is, again, when you're giving these as gifts, it's something that's there year round. So flowers are lovely. We're the Chicago Flower and Garden Show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So not trying to downplay the flower side, but this is something that you have year round.
Easy to take care of or no?
These are easy to take care of. And, for these two in particular, they don't like to be dry. But you don't want to overwater them, and they can last in a brighter light or ambient light. So oftentimes in your office, I'm really pushing the office thing, but oftentimes in your office, you don't really have natural light coming in. And so these will actually survive an ambient lighting. And I have some peace lilies, which are, you know, almost like the cockroach at times of the plant industry, because they just don't die. Most of it's really hard. And so I always laugh that, you know, I come home and
because they scatter when you turn the light out,
that's
which
right,
is
yeah,
really
it's
weird.
Like,
and they're all I don't over. Know why they do that.
But I look at them and I'll walk in one day and they're all just drooping.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God, because they dried them out. And then, and so I come in and I, you know, drench them and drown them.
Yeah.
And then a couple hours later, poof, they're all perky
normal.
And they're bright and they're happy. The philodendron and the calathea don't like to get that dry.
So really, like a couple times a week you water them? I just don't have any concept of that.
Victor in our office, he does it once a week.
Once a week.
We water once a week. But then also look, like in the winter when you have the heat kicking, you might do
a little extra.
Twice a week, do a little extra. And some of them, there's little gauges you can buy, but the best gauge and the free gauge is your finger. And
just if the soils
just kind of walk by it. And but what he did, which I thought was really smart, because we were Flower and Garden Show and all our plants were dying, and so you know,
it's bad.
I thought you watered him. I thought you watered him. So, you know, every Tuesday he walks around, he checks the plants and waters them. It's just part of his schedule.
Yeah,
that way it gets done. Because when you're talking about it, you know, these were $38-$40 a piece. So
you want them to last.
Yes,
you want them to last. You
right.
know, and so, but it's also like the peace lilies I have are 6 years old.
You're getting your money's worth on that.
And mm-hmm. and those, what's really nice about it is, in a way, is those were given to me. Actually, my dad passed away February 10th, so coming up here.
So sorry.
And so it'll be 6 years. And those were given to me as part of a funeral arrangement at his funeral. And so I look at those are dad's peace lilies.
Yeah.
And so now 6 years later, I still have those peace lilies. And every time I look at them, it reminds me of him.
Oh, very
at
nice.
Peace lilies. That's at what peace, you should call them.
Yeah, right. And so that's where when you say we give these, you can give flowers and things, but when you give these plants, they can really last forever. Mm. You were sharing the story of your producer who was moving.
Oh, Kevin Richter, he had, it looked like a fiddle leaf fig tree, which is just kind of a big stalk and a few large leaves.
Right.
Kind of sparse and really cool. And he and Sarah were moving to California and they were selling some things from their apartment. And before I could even like say, hey, I wanted it, it sold immediately. Somebody bought it.
Yeah. And I was saying back in the day, people were just throwing them away.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to take this plant. I'm going to throw it away or do something. And now there's actually social media sites that people are buying and selling their plants.
Wow.
Matthew, who's here with me from Strategia, he's got a new apartment and they got two of those fig plants and now they're
so
starting
cool.
to leaf out.
Yeah.
But these are things that even some of them are generational. They're, you know, or you take a cutting from, you know, mom's jade plant or something like that or one of these figs. And so it's really, really cool. And the sale of houseplants are up like 200-300%. And I always joke in the office about 40% of those sales are coming through millennials. And I joke, especially when there's a millennial in the room, I'm like, you know, they invented it. Millennials invented the houseplant.
Sure they did.
And they have saved the industry. But but really, they're seeing it. It's experiential. It's something that they buy once and they nurture. There's even T-shirts out now. I'm a plant parent.
I was just going to say that's experience before they get a pet or a baby. They start to see if, because I kill every plant. It's amazing my kids are still alive.
I have a friend who has one of the saguaro cactuses, you know, with the arms that stick up. And so that cactus's name is Captain Jazz Hands. And so it's up there. And so people are naming them.
Oh,
they're creating
so
social media sites. They're not getting a dog. They're
Bill
getting
is
a
rolling
plant.
His eyes.
No, it 200-300% is a significant number. That's gigantic for the change to happen that quickly.
And so we're very excited about it because, again, it's so healthy and good for the environment, not only in your own space, but you'll see that people are wanting this experience. So you'll see houseplant sales are on the rise, succulents sales.
Those are very popular.
And the thing about it is, though, that succulents are plants that they conserve all of this energy. They conserve all of their energy so that they live in these extreme conditions. So they don't really purify the air the way that you think the other plants do. So they're like, plants purify the air, I'll get some succulents.
Right.
Well, they're trained to keep all of their energy inside. They're not processing it through. So they're a great plant and they're a lot of fun, but you know, they're from the health standpoint, they're not quite.
Tony, go on.
Last time succulent came up, you were unsure what it is, so I want him to describe, because I'm envisioning like, you know, a needleless cactus or a little aloe plant, something like that. What is a succulent?
I mean, that's all in that realm. It's kind of in the cactus family and it comes in, it's very dry conditions and sandy conditions at time. A lot of times they'll use them in terrariums.
Oh.
The hens and chicks or chicks and hens.
Yes.
Echeveria, the different names of them that you can bring them together. And even like an air plant, because
those are popular too.
Right. And there's no water really involved and there's no soil involved. But those are things, even in people's, they're coming out now. We work with a group, Midwest Ground Cover, here in Chicago, and they have a hocus pocus line, and they're steppables. So when you have them outside in between the cracks in your patio or something, you can put in these steppables, and they can
Very
take a
nice.
Beating.
Yeah.
You can step on them, but rather than having the weeds come up and all of those things, you can have those plants.
Are you okay to take calls from listeners? Because we've got a bunch of people lined up who have some questions. You're good with that?
They can. Always remember, I'm not a horticulturist.
Yeah. I'm here to back you up.
But I've got Wendy to back me up.
Yeah.
Tony and you brought tickets as well to give away?
I did. I brought tickets to give away.
You're very generous, Tony.
We'll do that, too.
Very generous. That's coming up next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Tony Abruscato is our guest. He's the president of the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, the only president that everybody loves. The Garden Show, the Flower and Garden Show, takes place Wednesday, March the 20th through Sunday, March the 24th at Navy Pier, Festival Halls A and B at Navy Pier. And we're talking about flowers and plants, and there's a bunch of people who have questions for you. Wendy, lead the way.
All right. You mentioned you brought a philodendron with you, the moonlight one. And Christy, you have a philodendron question? Oops, my fault.
Like your guest. Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Like your guest, I have my philodendron actually from when my father passed away, and it's going to be 3 years old. And it's in a shallow pot, and it has two... They're probably like 10 feet long now. One goes up the wall in one direction and one goes up in the wall, and they've gotten like little suckers and they're growing. And I don't know if I want it to keep going. So what would you recommend to do with all of that?
If you don't want to, you know, you can always trim them back so that they're mm-hmm. coming through. And I would look up, you know, the second best gardener in the world is the Google.
But honestly,
yeah. But I would look at about cutting back, but you can always trim back new growth. And then on philodendrons, you might also be able to create a new starter out of that. So cutting it back, putting it in water. Some of these plants are very susceptible to that. I actually did that with one of the ivy vines that I have in the office. Those are the ones you see most often. People cut, put in water, and re-root. So that's something mm-hmm. that you could look at. I'm not sure 100%. I always say that my talent in the plant world is finding people that know about plants. So I always can't okay. offer the best advice. But that's one of the things. You can always trim back. Like my peace lily, I'll thin out at different times because it's getting so thick, or I'll divide it mm-hmm. out so it stays fresh. But that's one of the things I would look is see if you can cut that and then re-root it and start another plant with it, and it's a way to keep it down.
Good luck.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And you mentioned peace lily. Colleen has a peace lily question. Was it already answered by Tony Abruscato?
No, it wasn't, but this is my story. So my mother, I got a peace lily from when my mother passed away. It'll be 6 years this year. I moved into a different home, and it has hard water. My peace lily is now dead, and I also had a piece of ivy from when my youngest sister was born, who is now 47 years old.
Oh, my God.
That died, too. So is this the pH of the water? Does that affect your plants, too?
Oh, absolutely. So, okay. You know, all of that can come into play, and so putting in some softer water, or oftentimes what I might do is I'll take a pitcher of water, and I'll fill it up at night, and let it sit out for a day, and then the following night, I'll water my plants
with
it.
What does that do?
So it kind of purifies it a little bit. In my mind, it might take out some of the impurities that are there, but it's taking out some of that hard water aspect. There's also, if your water's really hard and bad, you can get a little pH tester, and you just dip this strip in there so you know what it's at, and there'll be a little additive in there. And sometimes that shift, I have two of the peace lilies, and the one in the living room does really well, and the other one in the other room is kind of skinny and scrawny. It's just not, doesn't like its environment as much, and sometimes when you switch environments that happens, but that hard water can really play in, because you also think about it with you know, fertilizers and soil when you're out in the garden. I know, Wendy, you garden a lot, and you know it's always about that soil composition.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it, you're watering, and that little soil in that little pot is being affected by the hard water that you're putting inside of it. And then also, you know, look at some more organic, natural fertilizers that you can use, too, because that'll help spruce them along. But definitely grab a little pH strip, a tester you can get it at your local garden center or major box store, and check your water out, because that can have an impact on it.
Yeah, because they're gone now, but I will have one of my sisters cut, you know, a piece of this ivy that we've had in the family for 40 something years. At least I'll know to bottle water, you know, that plant when I get it. So
good luck.
All right,
to
I
you
appreciate. Thank you.
Somebody has texted, I recently helped my friend to repot a houseplant, which she bought as a newlywed over 50 years ago, still going strong and enormous.
Is that normal? It can be very normal.
Yeah.
A few years ago at the show, and I'm trying to resurrect it for 2020, is that we had a horticulture competition.
Yeah.
And we had someone bring in, I think it was like a 70-year-old cactus.
Oh, my God.
And somebody else had a fern that was 40 or 50 years old. But you think about it, the thread from the previous woman, unfortunately, her plants died, but she has one from her sister when she was born.
Yeah, 40-some years ago.
But what an amazing gift to be able to look at that and
70
and
years.
Have that. And now these plants. And so, yeah, people are repotting them. They're splitting them. They're giving off here. This is mom's, you know, this is part of mom's philodendron, and this is part of mom's plant. And you carry that tradition throughout the family, and that's a big part of it. We talk about it at the show. Every time I tell someone I'm the head of the flower and garden show, that, oh, my grandmother and my mom and my sister and my aunt and I would always go to the show. Everyone's got a story about it, which yeah. Our theme is flower tales. And so talking about people's tales about it. But that's what plants do. They invoke some of those memories, whether it's a favorite color or a favorite plant or something that you've had in the family for a long, long time.
All right. The Chicago Flower and Garden Show, it's going on March 20th through the 24th. I've got to go this year. It's at Navy Pier. We'll tell you how you can win a pair of tickets. But real quickly, Valentine's Day is a week from today, correct? Yes, it's next Thursday.
It's the 14th, so yes.
And a lot of people like roses, but there are some options, correct?
Absolutely, and that's one of the, we got off onto the houseplant tangent, but some of the options, roses are wonderful. We love rose
are
growers.
Are they too predictable, would you say?
I think they're predictable at times, and if it's just a dozen roses, it's like, oh, well, I swung into the grocery store and I picked up a dozen roses. I really was thinking about you.
Yes.
And
right.
Not so much. So I went in last night. I swooped in. I mentioned I went to Sprout, and I went in and I looked at, I know that, you know, one of my favorite colors is orange. And mm-hmm. So I found some sweet pea vine that were a little orange and the yellowy. Mm-hmm. And I talked to the person around the counter and I said, I love this sweet potato vine and I love this dahlia, this big white dahlia that was in the center. And so they just picked flowers in that same palette for me and putting in poppies and kumquat. Branches with a little
with the fruit on it,
and so a beautiful bouquet, very unique.
Yeah,
even the carnation was this dusty rose kind of color.
It's not your typical bright red or
white or something like that. And so it comes in to be very unique, and it really goes that you put in some really thought and care about it. I joke all the time. My partner loves birds of paradise. So
those are cool.
So I get, you know, I know a little store that always has birds of paradise. And so I bring those home for him. And that, mm-hmm. because bringing him a dozen roses, he's like, that's really great. But you know that birds of paradise are my favorite.
Sure.
And then, you know, if you go one step further, what I like about these plants, the house plants, is that you could actually go out and get a terracotta pot or some kind of a pot similar to that. And you could actually paint it and create that pot.
Sweet.
Or you could decoupage photographs into it or do a variety of things. So yeah. You have this custom pot and container with this plant in it. And that way, you know, they have that forever to know that you took that extra step.
That's it.
And I was joking in the car on the way over here, because then you can, then when you do something really wrong and they throw that, you know, pot at you. Right. You know the relationship's over.
Sure.
That's completely it. They threw that custom pot.
We will take pictures of these and put them up on our Facebook and
Wonderful.
Instagram pages, because what a great idea. And then you can tell your significant other that you actually chose those flowers. You don't have to say the florist did it. You could say, oh I
absolutely.
Said put that in and that in.
But, you know, say, oh, my partner loves red, and so I want something. And they'll build that
right.
palette around you, because people always say, well, I don't know what to get, so I just get the dozen roses. That's why you go to a real flower shop.
They can help you.
And they can help you and yes. walk you Sweet. Through this.
Excellent. Tony,
a pair
great
of tickets?
To see you. Yeah, let's do it right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, the Garden Chicago Flower and Garden Show is going to happen Wednesday, March 20th through Sunday, March 24th at Navy Pier. We have a pair of tickets right now. What number caller, Tony?
11 for
All right.
my birthday.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Tony.
Next February month. 11th? Oh.
No, March 11th.
Okay. Well, happy yeah. almost birthday.
We didn't want to go with my age, because caller 55.
We'd be here forever.
Jasmine has to leave at 3 o'clock. Right, she can't
exactly.
stay early.
All right, caller 11, 312-981-7200. We'll set you up with a pair of tickets to go to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. Tony Abruscato is the president and show director. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And we'll take a quick break, and then we will talk to Dean, correct?
Dean Richards coming up next, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Congratulations to Susan from Cicero, who will be going to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show at Navy Pier March 20th through the 24th. Tony Abruscato, the president and show director. A quick little fun thing to do for Valentine's Day that we forgot to mention.
Yeah, so one of our partners this weekend, Christy Weber Farm and Garden Center over on the Near West Side, they're doing plant champagne and great ideas for Valentine's Day. And so you can go in and have a little bubbly and pick out one of these nice philodendrons or some cut florals and enjoy yourself. Maybe you bring your significant other with you and go through it. Otherwise, you go on your own, have a couple of drinks, and get
some
flowers.
It. Thank you so much.
Thank you.